a Paramount picture.
Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Gorgie LaMour. In the road to Bali.
With narrative description by Audio Vision Canada. With Mervyn Vine, Peter Coe, Ralph Moody, Leon Askin. Screenplay by Frank Butler, Hal Cantor, and William Morrow. Story by Frank Butler and Harry Tugend. Color by Technicolor. Director of Photography, George Barnes. Art Direction, Hal Pereira and Joseph McMillan Johnson. Special Photographic Effects, Gordon Jennings and Paul Lerpay. Set Decoration, Sam Cummer and Ross Dowd. Costumes, Edith Head. Edited by Archie Marshak. Makeup Supervision, Wally Westmore. Assistant Director, John Coonan. Music Direction, Joseph J. Lilly. Special Orchestral Arrangements, Van Cleve. New Songs, lyrics by Johnny Burke, music by James Van Heusen. Produced by Harry Tugend. Directed by Hal Walker.
The Commonwealth of Australia, land of many frontiers, lone stepping stone across the vast Pacific to the mysterious brooding islands of the Malayan archipelago, last outpost of the art and culture of the Western world. Our story takes us to Melbourne. Melbourne, birthplace of Nellie Melba, the famous coloratura soprano, Australia's gift to American opera, appearing here as a token of appreciation for Melbourne's glorious gift, are two distinguished concert artists, steeped in the tradition of America's classical music.
In a small theater, two song and dance men stride on stage in matching suits.
You ready for this?
They each brandish a cane as they tap.
Who's that coming down the thoroughfare? Sunshine flashing on his ring, bowing left and right and here and there.
You're delightful.
Just floating.
That's Chester, the trombone king. He gets his shirts straight from Paris, cigarettes from the night.
He talks like an eyebrow,
but he plays Chicago style. He gets his shoes made in London and the real crocodile. But he plays trombone, Chicago style, and he sometimes plays sweet. But sweet or high, he's always got that real gut bucket beat. He's got a neat Latin mustache, and the girls love his smile. He plays trombone.
They stick the canes in the floor.
Chicago style, a trombone made in Munich, baby. Chicago style.
They grab two trombones. One pulls a nylon stocking from the other's trombone.
Nylon mute, huh? Run out and have the fill.
The trombones fall apart.
Take it, Twinkle Toes.
Got it, Helium Hips.
This boy's diseased with rhythm.
As one tap dances, the other is yanked off stage left by an angry man with a blonde.
Verna, is this the one, daughter?
Shh. You cover up my partner's taps.
They both proposed to me.
Well, Verna, we're both crazy about you. We've been fighting over you all week.
Really?
Yeah, and I won. Harold's going to marry her.
He dances back on stage where Harold is still doing his tap number. Without missing a beat, he sidles up to Harold.
Well, you see what I got lined up for you, boy.
What is it, a dame?
What else would I line up for you?
What's wrong with her?
Oh, she's a doll.
Oh,
she's
really?
A belle, yes.
Cut it down to two encores.
Okay.
Let's move.
They perform a routine with a miniature set of steps. As one dances up the steps, the other moves behind him and pretends to dance down some steps.
There he goes, one of my best pupils. Had a tough time getting the lead out of his feet, but there he is. I'll never forget. We were down...
Harold is yanked off stage right by another man with another blonde.
I'll bend the wardrobe.
Is this the boat that popped the question?
Both of them did.
Eunice.
Harold, darling, this is the happiest day of my life.
Yeah, then why spoil it with a wedding?
But, darling...
And I want to marry you. Not George.
Well, fine. I'll be best man.
Good.
See ya.
What?
He dances back on stage where George is doing a soft shoe. He sidles up to George.
Boy, have I got something cooked up for you.
Yeah? Put it in the deep freeze. Didn't a similar situation occur in Allentown in 47?
Thanks for the memory.
Let's get out of here fast.
A trombone made in Munich played in Chicago style.
They dance off the stage and down the center aisle.
Hey, hey.
As the two blondes and their fathers run on stage,
look out.
Harold and George tear down the aisle. Verna's father throws a boomerang at them, but Harold catches it.
This will drive him crazy when it doesn't come back.
Yeah, come on.
They escape out the door.
You, come back here!
The fathers and their daughters come charging down the aisle. Later, aboard a train, George finishes his meal in the dining car. When no one is watching, he spreads his napkin on the table and puts his leftovers on it. He plucks a flower from a vase, sniffs it, and adds it to the leftovers. Then he folds the napkin and ties it into a pouch. He snatches a cane from the chair of the man behind him and hooks the pouch over its handle. Opening the window, he lowers the leftovers to Harold, who is lying on the car's undercarriage. Harold takes the pouch, opens it, and looks up with disdain. Meanwhile, George dunks a donut in a cup of tea.
Boy may not have his teeth in today.
He slips the soggy donut onto the cane and lowers it to Harold, who slips it off. Glancing scornfully upward, Harold takes a bite of the donut. It crumbles and blows away. In the dining car...
Gentlemen, I've told you there are no two actors traveling together on this train.
Eunice's father spots George.
There's one of them. Pilot the belly gunner. Bailing out.
George jumps out the window, and Harold dives off the undercarriage. They roll down an embankment and come to a halt in a hayfield. As the train heads down the track, they dust themselves off.
Wouldn't listen to me, would you? Let's stow away on a boat to Frisco, I said. No, you said. Let's hop a rattler. You take the upper, you said. I'll take the lower.
You had a sub lower. Besides, look at the money I saved you on tips, boy.
Get plenty of fresh air, you said. Not me, I said. Hide underneath, you said. They'll never find you.
I said.
You're going to ride inside. Keep an eye out.
I said.
You know what kills me?
What's the matter now?
You never listened to me. That's what kills me. And where are we now? We're lost.
Yackety,
that's
yackety,
where we
yackety,
are.
Yackety, yeah. Yackety. Come on, we got some traveling to do. On your feet.
He holds Harold's nose.
Come on, drop that beak. The day I met you, there were vultures in the sky. I should have taken that for an omen.
Those were bluebirds. Now stop worrying. I'll get you out of this.
No, don't, look, don't get me out of things. Stop getting me into things, will you?
Look, Harold.
They notice a flock of sheep coming toward them.
I'll be darned. French poodles.
No, those are sheep. We're saved.
I don't trust you or the sheep.
Don't you see, Harold? Wherever there's sheep, there's a farm. Wherever there's a farm, there's a farmer. And wherever there's a farmer, there's a farmer's daughter.
Now you're getting me into trouble again.
Come on.
Let's walk. Don't run.
They join the flock.
You know, for a couple of guys on the land, we're in pretty good company.
We're poor little lambs who have lost our way.
Incredulous, the guys stare at the sheep.
That was helpful, wasn't it?
Fred Waring must have played through here.
Later, in a country market town, the flock of sheep are herded through a gate, down a ramp, and into a corral. George and Harold come tumbling down the ramp. Dirty and wearing beards, they get up and dust themselves off.
Boy, am I tired of that whiff and poof song.
One more whiff and poof.
We may be dirty, but we're healthy.
Yes, sir.
Every time they dip the sheep, they dipped us.
Say, why don't we stick with them? We may get sheared, too.
He pats Harold's beard.
I'm beginning to like it.
What have we here?
They spot three sheep, one yellow, one blue, and one red.
Those are for Argyle socks.
Oh, let's get out of here.
Here we go.
They stroll across the street. Soon, they reach an employment office whose jobs are listed outside on a blackboard. The jobs include cook and dishwasher.
Mighty attractive openings there for a fella if he likes work, huh?
Who's next to closing?
Yes, this is for me.
You can't cook?
Well, I can learn while you wash the dishes, buddy.
Oh, no. I'll cook and you'll wash the dishes. You can stack them behind your ears to dry.
Oh,
We'll see here.
That's your roommates.
Roger, come in.
A man takes a piece of chalk and crosses out cook.
Scratch.
And dishwasher.
Scratch.
There goes the Daily Double.
What a pity. Just when I was going to let you have your way, too.
Say, I haven't looked for work since I was night watchman at Vassar.
That's before we were in the cough drop business.
Yes, these electric razors. There's nothing like them, huh?
The aristocrats. Take a mowing machine to get this hedge knocked off, right?
George notices the last job on the board. Deep sea divers.
How long can you hold your breath, Junior?
My breath? Well, you...
In the employment office upstairs, a dark man in a turban walks over to the agent.
Prince Kenarok. Back again, eh?
You must help me. I need sea divers again.
Not a flaming chance, and you know it. 4 divers shipped out to your island already, and never came back.
Fine men, too. But they met with accidents.
Accidents, my eye. We all know about Bogaten.
Bogaten is a legend.
Then why don't you get your own people to dive? If Bogaten is only a blooming legend.
People of that too are superstitious and still believe in witchcraft.
It ain't no witchcraft done them men in. Look here, Prince. You couldn't get any diver in Australia to take on your job. Not for all the beer in Darwin.
Kenarok turns to 2 men looking for work. They shake their heads. Outside...
Well, Buster, looks like the briny deep for us, huh? Up along upstairs now, will you? Complete the necessary arrangements. Go along.
Oh, why me? Why don't you go up?
No elevator. Remember, you're a much younger man than I am.
Who isn't?
All along now.
Harold runs up the stairs, holds his back, and limps to the top. Another turban man approaches George.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
But are you a deep-sea diver?
Well, I'm just a graduate of UCUW. That's University of California Underwater.
Oh, an American. Mm-hmm. Then perhaps you would be interested in a job that would bring you rich rewards.
Well, of course... Candidly, rich rewards do remove a good deal of the dullness from mere work, I guess. Yes, that's true. What's the pitch?
Sunken treasure.
Treasure? Well, I'll have it up for you in a jiffy. I must tell you one thing, though. I don't do the actual diving myself. I have another boy for that. I remain on deck, and I operate the pump.
Oh, but excellent.
Your hand.
Upstairs, Kenarok has found a worker.
Yes, sir. I'll have that treasure up in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. And believe me, I know how to shake a lamb's tail. Oh, there's one little thing I must explain. You see, I'm not actually the diver. I'm the pump man. I have a friend who does the diving.
Is your friend experienced?
Oh, he's been underwater half his life. He used to be a lifeguard in a car wash.
Kenarok pats Harold on the back, then follows him out of the employment office and onto the upstairs landing.
Where is this island of yours, Prince?
A few days' journey across the sea on the road to Bali. You will love that, too. It is an island paradise.
Girls, huh?
Could it be a paradise without girls?
Welcome to the club. Oh, I must cable Mother to send my other lips.
At the foot of the stairs.
Boy, did I make a terrific deal.
I knew you'd do it, you little genius. You
did it. Good.
All 4 shake hands. But after George and Harold shake hands, they wipe their palms on their clothes.
Well, these threads are a little beat. If we're shoving off for paradise, we better slip into our linens, eh?
Uh-huh. Gong will take care of your needs. We will sail at sundown.
Sundown, it's perfect. I freckle, you know.
Of course.
Girls, paradise, money. What a jackpot.
You did it all with your own little
brain. My little head.
Yeah. They pat their beards. Near sundown, Gung escorts George and Harold to the harbor. Clean-shaven and neatly dressed, they follow Gung across a gangplank to a pier where a ship is docked. George beckons a bare-chested man in a sarong.
All same muscles. Take our luggage, will you?
Here you are.
Don't get these mixed up now.
They hand them their toothbrushes.
Say, Sam, is that the way all the natives dress on your island?
The man nods.
Really? George,
huh? You suppose... Not a chance.
Harold faces the camera.
Stick around, folks. He could be wrong, you know.
Kenarok and Gung help the guys board the ship.
Cast off.
Who?
The ship sets sail. And eventually reaches the tropical island of Batu. Gung and the bare-chested man, Bo Kazar, escort George and Harold through the jungle. Meanwhile, lovely handmaidens in sarongs gather in a luxurious palace courtyard. From the top of a stairway, a beautiful princess in a pointed gold headdress arrives.
Romance comes with the moon flowers. Tonight the moon flowers will be in bloom.
She descends the stairs. stairs to the courtyard.
Love walks among the moonflowers. I've planted moonflowers outside my room.
She pauses by a blossoming tree.
I'll watch the path that winds by the wishing tree.
She dances among the maidens.
It ends beneath my window, and there I'll be. And there I'll wait for the love I long for. Tonight the moon flowers may bloom for me.
She stands beside a reflecting pool.
I'll watch the path that winds by the wishing tree.
Two maidens stand behind her, waving their arms.
It ends beneath my window, and there I'll be.
She steps towards more blossoms.
And there I'll wait for the love I long for. Tonight the moon flowers may bloom for.
She approaches two maidens weaving at a loom.
Isn't it beautiful? It's a tartan of my father's clan.
Another maiden comes over to the princess.
Highness, your cousin, Prince Kenarok. He is here.
The princess notices Kenarok at the top of the stairs.
I will see him alone. You girls may leave.
As the maidens start to leave, George and Harold arrive at the palace with Gung and Balcazar in tow.
Hey, things are picking up.
They notice six maidens coming toward them.
Case the local architecture.
Yeah, built like brick pagodas.
The maidens greet the guys.
Welcome, Batu. They look like Americans.
Look what Kenarok brought.
They are not bad.
You think they are sailors?
They cuddle up to George and Harold.
Been swimming, they must have got our wires.
We got to ration ourselves down here, you know.
Let's get the box lunches and head for the high country, Murgatroyd.
I don't know which way to turn. Everything looks so good.
Now, don't get tied down. This may just be the older stuff, you know.
Oh, no.
What's that?
It's Errol Flynn. He can't stand it.
Okay, make yourself available, huh?
Yes, we'll meet you at the drive-in.
Stand by. You'll
the maidens leave.
I'll send you my suit size and everything.
Isn't it nice to know we still got that old magnetism?
Hey, that sea air must have recharged our batteries.
I feel like I've had a complete overhaul.
If we can get our speedometers turned back now, we're in business.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Don't look now, but Taboo and his brother are still with us.
Well, don't worry about them. Let them get their own girls.
In the palace courtyard.
Too bad my prayers went unanswered.
Prayers for me?
Yes. That you be washed overboard.
Despite your prayers, I managed to obtain some excellent diving equipment and two American divers. I think our plan...
Our plan? I want no part of it. Your two Americans will die like all the others. It's just cold-blooded murder.
As she stalks off, George and Harold come in.
Hey, how about those chicks?
Steady,
huh?
Steady now. Remember Australia.
All that trouble.
Yes, we're not going to get involved with girls again.
No,
remember?
Sir. Never.
No, sir.
Okay.
They run into the princess.
Well.
Your turn.
Kenarok steps forward.
Tilt.
Your Highness, may I present our guests?
Highness?
Gentlemen, you are in the presence of my cousin, Princess Lala of the Two.
Oh, well, the name's Gridley, Princess. Harold Gridley. Sportsman, raconteur, polo player, and all-around good egg. Well, don't lay it here, huh?
Welcome to Vatu, gentlemen.
George Cochran at your service, Your Highness.
George kisses her hand.
Oh, the continental. Go, run, play with the peasants. I'll take care of the royalty, do you mind?
Oh, what, me?
Always fight over girls?
Well, what else can we fight over? We've never had any money.
He looks at the camera.
That's for Washington.
Now, let's be fair. Let's be fair, Leroy. If you can't pay, they give you time. Now, true.
Follow me, gentlemen.
Where else?
Coming.
She leads them past Kenarok, Gung, and Balcazar. Gung turns to Kenarok.
They have become friendly. It is a bad omen.
Omens are for old women. The sharks will soon be picking their bones.
As Lala escorts the guys down a hallway, George stares at her pointed headdress.
This kid carries her own antenna.
This is quite a Quonset.
Amazing what you can do with a GI loan.
They must have gambling here.
Just in time.
Who's there?
They stop at a royal portrait.
She was my mother, Queen Tama of Vantu.
Beautiful.
And he was my father.
She points to a man in a kilt.
Didn't anybody in the family wear the pants?
Colorful old chap, wasn't he? Certainly must have got around some.
Father sailed a merchant ship that called here. He liked the island, met mother, and remained.
I'd like to remain here myself.
You're reading my mind.
You're the one who always wants to go home.
I'm home. This is it.
Something wrong, Princess?
You must be very tired after your voyage. You must rest before...
Before what?
Before tonight, I'm having a feast in your honor.
Run out to the car and get my finger bowl, huh?
Do you need your chopsticks?
Just my fork and a pusher. Hurry back, boy.
I may join you.
They follow her into a lavish room with twin beds.
Not bad without a reservation, huh?
Rest well. I will see you tonight.
Yeah, leave a call. We'll call you later.
Here.
As Lala leaves...
Don't overmatch yourself, old man.
George grabs Harold.
You may get a little rain later.
A plaque on the door says, Sadie Thompson slept here. They stroll over to a tree in a rock garden.
Central Park with twin beds.
Would you like me to shoot you a squirrel before your knapsack?
You wouldn't do that, Daniel Boone.
I might knock off a rodent.
Oh, this'll do for me, George. This'll do it.
He lies down.
Good night, all.
Here, get your shoes off. You're in a palace.
Oh, I've always wanted to play the palace. Draw the blinds, Alf. It's siesta time for the sofa.
Very well, sir.
Check back with me. Man, I could spend the rest of my life with a joint like this.
Oh, you say that every time you get in a bed.
George draws the curtains.
I'm in a haze that Lala intoxicates me.
That could be. She's half Scotch.
And with me for a chaser.
Oh, this don't end in another hangover.
Harold takes off his shoes and lies down.
Freedom.
His toes poke through a hole in his sock.
I better get some black polish. This may be formal tonight.
That night, in the palace courtyard, native musicians entertain the royal household. When Lala and her maidens clap in unison, five comely young women in sarongs step through a row of swinging doors and perform an exotic traditional dance. Is engulfed in a yellow puff of smoke and is turned into three golden dancers, each with four arms. Disappear. Lala and her maidens clap in unison for the next act. Dressed in kilts, George and Harold enter playing bagpipes. Kenarok and Gung are not amused, but the guys carry on anyway.
Footman, out of my way, who do you think you are? It's the toe of my boot, the man if you push too far. Footman, this is the day I celebrate my birth. The seven son of a son of a gun from birth. Who can play the drums? Is there a piper in the town? Have them put their kilts on and come right down. All ye brawny lads, whether you're poor or men of wealth,
George kicks Harold.
Meet me in the tavern to drink my health.
Harold kicks back.
Who's that standing in my path?
Stand clear.
Don't you know you're face to face with Robbie McMath?
Robbie McMath.
Hey, Hootamon, out of my way. Who do you think you are? It's the toe of my boot, Hootamon, if you push too far.
Harold kicks.
Hootamon, this is the day I celebrate my birth.
George kicks.
The seventh son of a seventh son of a son of a gun from birth. Oh, oh,
Say, Haggis.
What is it, McBaggis?
Have you heard the latest about McTavish?
What's he done now?
He's living on the roof.
Why would he be living on the roof?
He heard someone say the drinks are on the house.
The drinks are on the house. You know. But we...
Lala and her maidens sit stone-faced.
It's a little late, so good night, folks.
As Kenarok and Gung look wearily at each other, the guys toss off their bagpipes and dance a Highland fling. Soon the Highland fling turns into a jitterbug.
Hey,
The guys race to sit beside Lala, and George wins.
Oh, thanks. You're a pal. Not mine, but a pal.
Here, Harold, sit here.
Are you kidding? Right. He takes the large economy side.
George throws a big cushion at Harold.
Next week, it's my turn to wear the girdle.
Why don't you entertain us a little, huh? Do your disappearing act, babe.
Oh, I know that one. You mean the Hindu rope trick.
She summons a man with a long sash wrapped around his waist. As she holds the sash, he spins to unwind it.
How does he dress, in a revolving door?
Lala gathers up the sash.
I'm sure you've heard of this. As a matter of fact, it's impossible.
This must be the one where they throw the rope up in the air, climb up, and disappear. It's nothing. It's sort of a mass hypnosis.
Where did you learn words like that? This kid was drummed out of kindergarten for cheating and finger painting.
I was framed.
Now watch.
As she throws the sash in the air, it extends straight up from the floor to high in the sky. Harold and George turn to each other in disbelief.
What else is new?
Lala stands, grabs the sash, and climbs up it. Until she disappears into the dark sky. Harold and George scramble for the sash.
Pardon me, Governor, I think this calls for me.
I'll be in the balcony.
Slapping away Harold, George climbs up the sash. Until he disappears into the dark sky.
I've heard about vanishing cream, but vanishing blubber. Fight him off, Princess!
Here comes Jack of the Beanstalk.
He climbs to the top where a foot steps on his head.
Down, boy, down.
He
boy.
Whizzes down the sash and lands on his back. Struggling to his feet, he assumes a boxer's stance. When he grabs the sash to climb back up, Lala comes sliding down.
How's the beast in the penthouse?
As she smiles, George slides down.
Ah, Space Cadet returns.
Did you get my card, Jock? Had a wonderful time. I'm glad you were here.
Oh, very funny. It's easy for you to get up there.
Go on, it's mass hypnosis.
Mass hypnosis. You're full of helium. Say, how about a little black magic for me, Princess?
Here's an exciting bit of hocus pocus.
A servant brings a basket.
If a cobra comes out of there, it's yours.
I'll split it with you.
The servant hands Lala a flute.
You pay your dues?
A pair of tiny, undulating hands emerges from the basket. A sultry dancing girl rises up and grows to full size, wearing a sari with flower garlands slung over her shoulder. She removes her sari to reveal a voluptuous body in a skimpy two-piece costume. She steps out of the basket.
Believe it if I saw it.
I saw it, and I don't believe it.
She kneels before Harold and places a garland around his neck. She takes a flower from her hair and tucks it behind his ear. Then she touches her lips and strokes his face.
I'm starting to believe it.
When he reaches for her, she gets up, dances over to the basket, and steps in. As Lala plays the flute, the dancing girl slowly shrinks as she lowers herself back down into the basket. When she disappears from view, the guys peer into the basket, but the girl has vanished.
What a fool I was, what a fool. In scout camp, they had basket weaving, and I took up wood burning.
You wouldn't listen to me.
Give me the pipe.
He takes Lala's flute, then pulls George aside.
I'm going into business for myself. I'll check with you in a fortnight.
Junior's always eager to improve himself, always trying to pick up something new. Say, Princess, what about you and I seeking out some leafy dell where we can discuss you in terms of me?
As George and Lala wander off, Kenner Rock signals to Gung to follow them. Gung nods and leaves. In a garden...
George, I must talk to you and Harold.
Oh, forget about Harold. He's a hustler, a philanderer, a roué. I want to tell you something. He ran out on a very lovely girl down in Australia. And on their wedding day, too.
I think he's attractive.
Can't hear you. Not reaching me at all.
I think you're attractive, too.
Contact. Actually, as a matter of fact, there's nothing special about me. I'm just an average, all-around, all-American boy with an excess of charm.
Harold told me that, too.
About me?
About him.
So conceited.
George lifts his kilt to sit on a stone wall, then jumps back up.
Delightful place you have here, Princess. It'd be lovely just to lay around here and grow old.
George. Huh? You and Harold will never grow old, unless you escape.
Gung hides in the bushes and listens.
My cousin, Kenner Rock, is a scheming murderer.
I think he's a pretty nice guy. He's a little formal, a little cold, perhaps.
You do not know him. He has sent many men to their death in the sea.
A little physical, too, huh?
Kenner Rock will let nothing stand in the way of his ambition. Years ago, my father set out for Bali to sell a chest of valuable jewels. The boat sank on a reef outside of our lagoon. Neither my father nor the jewels have ever been recovered.
Oh. That's the treasure they want us to haul up out of the briny, huh?
Many have tried, but none have succeeded.
No wonder they offered us 50,000 guilders to get it.
You must escape tonight.
Oh, no, Princess. You're looking at a big guilder man.
You must go, I tell you. Down in the wreck of the boat lives Bogatin.
Bogahoo?
Bogatin, a giant squid.
Let him live a little.
The squid is a terror. He's an enormous monster with bone-crushing tentacles. A man-eater. It means certain death to the diver.
Certain death to the diver, huh? Well, Harold laughs at death.
We must warn him. Tell him about Bogatin.
I don't know. I may have some trouble talking him out of this. He loves a challenge, this boy. Death is his bread, danger his butter.
You've got to convince him.
I'm going to butter him up pretty good.
As they walk away, Gung smirks. Later that night, in tartan pajamas, George paces around the bedroom.
Where can he be? What can he be doing?
He opens the door and peers into the hallway. Finding no one there, he shuts the door. Draped in garlands, Harold comes in through the rock garden with the flute and basket.
What a business. I finally learned that trick.
Who ran second?
Well, I was... I've been playing this flute all night. Had to clear it with Petrillo. Georgette, stash that in the icebox, will you, please?
Thank you, Jaja. Listen, don't you ever disappear like that on me again. I was worried into a positive tizzy about you.
You worried?
Yes, I was.
About me?
Certainly.
Well, bless your big, fat, motherly heart. What's to worry?
Well, in spite of everything I can say, and I put in plenty of knocks, that palpitating princess is all a-twitter over you.
Me? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Well, this girl is not only charming, she's intelligent.
You better be careful, boy. She'll marry you and make you a prince. You'll spend the rest of your miserable life just lolling around munching mangoes and falling apart and having girls wait on you and stuff like that. I can't let this happen to you. You're all I've got.
I'll buy you a dog. Destiny calls the young prince.
Surely you can't want this.
Well, it's a living.
Harold undresses behind a screen.
Oh, well. Okay, pal. I won't stand in your way. I guess after all, I booted it. I goofed when I told her what a hero you are.
One by one, Harold throws his clothes over the screen, finishing with his girdle.
Boy, what a relief.
You just think tomorrow at dawn, you'll be coming up out of the water with the treasure. Have a big, sumptuous wedding.
Yeah, dancing girls, coconut frappes, music. Oh, boy. Hey, how am I going to come up with the treasure?
Because you're going down for it.
Oh, I see. I can...
Wait.
In tartan pajamas, Harold strides over to George.
Oh, I even get the bends when I'm ducking for apples. You're the diver.
I'm the diver?
Yeah, you're the diver.
Oh, Harold, you don't know what this means to me. This is the nicest thing you've ever done, letting me be Lala's number one boy. Well, this changes everything.
Well, I thought I was Lala's boy.
You were, but you resigned. It's all mine. Now I go down a pauper, I come up a prince.
George lies back on his bed.
Oh, no, you don't. That's the way it's going to be. I'm going to be dumped.
Harold gets into bed.
I can't let you do it. It's too dangerous.
Ha! I laugh at danger.
Okay. If you insist, you get the jewels, you get the princess. Night.
I get the jewels, I get the princess, and I couldn't happen to a nicer girl.
When he pulls up the sheets, he uncovers his left foot with a flower tucked between the toes. He sits up, plucks the flower, and sniffs it dreamily. Early the next morning, George wakes up and sneaks a peek at Harold. Reassured that Harold is still asleep, he slips out of bed and tiptoes across the room to the basket. He reaches in and pulls out the flute. Then he carries the basket over to the rock garden. Putting it on the floor, he sits down and prepares to play the flute. But first, he stuffs a handkerchief in it to muffle the sound. When nothing happens, he knocks on the basket. A pair of undulating hands emerges from the basket. George stares in anticipation, then horror. Ugly woman rises up. She doesn't even have garlands to hand out. George grimaces. The woman smiles, winks, and whistles. George jumps up and backs away. The woman steps out of the basket and dances after him.
Harold! Harold!
Harold comes running over and grabs the flute. The woman vanishes.
Look, don't fool with the fun flute unless you check with the master.
The bedroom door opens. Kenner Rock, Gung, and Beau Kazar enter.
Gentlemen, it is time.
Oh, my princess is impatient. Latimer, lay out my top hat, white tie, and swim fins.
Very good, Murgatroyd.
Do, hurry.
Later that day, Kenner Rock's ship drops anchor near a small island. Harold sits on deck in a diving suit. As Lala stands beside Harold, George puts fins on his feet.
Harold, are you sure you know what you're doing?
Do I know what I'm doing, you lucky girl?
Then George told you.
George lifts a helmet.
I don't want to slip this over your head.
Say, you haven't got anything in straw with a wider brim, a long oval, have you?
No, no.
No, you wouldn't have that here. Well, just try it on for size. Anyway.
Any size will do. This kid's head's a little pointy, you know. He takes anything from a 3 to a 9 and 7/8. Suck in your nose.
He slips the helmet on Harold, then opens the window.
Oh, there you are.
Pretty snug, huh?
I'd ask in, but it's a little crowded there.
How can you two joke?
Well, it's easy when you're brave.
Oh, he's plenty brave, this fella.
Yeah, I take brave pills. Tell her about the time at Catalina when I got that big barge off the bottom. Boy, was she heavy.
Oh, but a lovely girl.
Yeah, she was a bit...
George hands him a knife.
Here, Annette, you may want to do your nails down there.
Oh, thanks. He usually sticks it in my back, you know.
Take two. We're having a 1 cent sale.
Don't forget my Roy Rogers water pistol.
You want to take a plumber's helper down with you?
No, I work alone, you know.
Harold, before you go down, I want you to think again.
No time to start thinking. He's going to start sinking.
Hey, how about a little kiss for your hero, just for luck, huh?
George slams the window shut.
Sorry, madam. Next window, please.
Remind him of Bogotan.
Oh, yes.
George opens the window.
Bogotan.
Hey, huh? Where's he running? Wait. Just 1 minute. Lean in here, will you?
Harold whispers to George, who whispers to Kenner Rock, who shakes his head.
Oh, you should have thought of that before.
Oh, but fellas!
Oh, no, we can't go through that again. Now, if your wool underwear starts to itch, it'll just have to itch.
Oh, well, get me another pair of hands for inside.
I thought you worked alone.
I know, but this is different.
Lala leans in and kisses Harold. George taps her. When she finally pulls back, George slams the window shut and steam pours out of the helmet. George opens the window.
Should have put some water in the radiator.
We could have made a cup of tea.
That is enough. Over the side.
George wipes Harold's brow.
Oh, thanks, pal. I'll bring you back some salt water taffy. Yeah.
George and Gung attach the air hose and radio line.
Say right if you find work, won't you?
Okay, I'm going. Geronimo!
We're going.
George slams the window shut. As Beau Kazar turns the pump wheel, George and Gung lift up Harold, haul him over to the side, and lower him down a ladder. Harold jumps in the water. As George and Gung unfurl the lifelines, Harold sinks to the bottom. Standing on the seabed, he surveys the murky depths. A shark swims by. He trudges along the side of a reef. Suddenly, he notices something on the ocean floor. Kneeling down, he uncovers a chest half buried in the sand.
Hey, I've got it.
Yeah? What?
The treasure. Brown wooden box, brass bands, big lock.
Yes, that's it, George.
Come on, boy, grab the loot and scoot.
Drop me a hook, boy.
Bokasar, Gung, lower the line and stand by.
As Gung and Beau Kazar throw an iron hook overboard, George and Lala turn the pump wheel. Down below, Harold carries the chest over to the hook. Bogotan swims up behind him and taps a huge tentacle on his helmet. Puzzled, Harold peers around, then raises his gloved hand and taps his helmet. Unaware of the giant squid lurking nearby, Harold attaches the hook to the chest. As the chest is hauled up, Bogotan wraps its tentacles around Harold and squirts him with black ink.
What is it? What's the matter, Buster?
Bogotan. It can only be Bogotan.
Hey, never mind that treasure. Come on, pull my paddle.
Come on, George.
Oh, no, never mind. We haven't got time now. Back to the pumps. Come on, we'll
blow him to the surface.
As Gung and Beau Kazar haul the chest aboard, George and Lala spin the pump wheel so fast that the inflated diving suit shoots out of the water and lands floating on the surface.
Get him up close now so I can gaff him.
Ken Arok hammers the chest.
Easy now.
George and Lala haul the diving suit aboard.
Easy does it, Pop. There you go. Keep going, suit.
They stand the suit upright on the deck.
Hey, Buster, are you okay? Hey, Buster, exhale a little. Exhale just once. Buster.
Ken Arok draws a pistol.
Buster.
George, look out!
Ken Arok shoots the diving suit, which deflates and slumps to the deck. George and Lala lean over the crumpled suit. George wipes the window with his sleeve and peers in.
He's not in there.
Gung and Beau Kazar panic.
Which guy?
They dive overboard.
Obviously, Bo-Katan has claimed the American. Now, Lala, it is time to feed the sharks.
Put down that gun.
Your days of telling me what to do are over. Without you, I have the island, the jewels, everything. For this moment, I have waited all my life.
You try to put the finger on us, boy, and you're going to have a lot of trouble with your breathing.
Bo-Katan reaches up, snatches Ken Arok, and pulls him overboard just as Harold surfaces, covered in ink.
Oh, Buster, my boy!
Oh, Harold,
come on,
boy.
George and Lala haul Harold aboard.
Come on, boy.
George reaches for Harold's rear end.
Who's there?
I'm just closing the gate.
Is Flap happy, this boy? Now he worries about
me. Oh, we're proud of you, Bubbles. Proud of you. Put on your
pilot. We thought you were gone.
Yeah, many brave hearts are asleep in the deep.
Good thing he's a coward, huh?
Lala kisses Harold.
He's wonderful.
Oh, it was really nothing. I had him groggy with a headlock, but he hit me with an ink bottle.
I thought that was chlorophyll.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look.
George points to Ken Arok, swimming for shore.
We cannot go back to Vatu. He will have our throats cut.
Oh, dear. That'll hurt my high notes.
That might help. You could sing duets.
What a novel.
We must go on to Bali.
Bali?
Bali?
There we can sell the jewels. We must sail at once.
I'll pack.
Hey, wait a minute. I want to ask you something. I've been wondering, how did you get out of that suit?
Out of the diamond suit?
Yeah.
Well, it was easy. You see, I was down at the bottom, and I...
He looks at the camera, frowns, then escorts George to the far end of the ship. Safely out of hearing range, he acts out a violent fight, punching, poking, and pounding the air. George shakes his hand and slaps him on the back. As Harold heads for the rigging, George approaches the camera and shrugs in bewilderment. That night in the ship's cabin, George and Harold pick over the baubles and beads in the treasure chest.
Yeah, and it's worth millions, George, millions. Looks like Ali Khan's garbage can.
Yeah, the top layer.
I think I'll have cufflinks made of these.
Tell me, you think this is too much?
Oh, no, I think that'll work.
You know, if you wear it right,
with a baby spot on it.
Oh, they're all Lala's.
Oh, yeah, and Lala's all mine. What a parlay, huh? You know, when I become prince, the first thing I'm going to do is pass a community property law.
George looks through a loop at a jewel.
What lion? What form? Oh, fantastic.
Oh, this is... Whoa. Let me put this under canvas. Let me see this.
Harold looks through the loop.
Hey.
He sees a pin-up girl in a swimsuit.
Shame to you. You're a grown man.
Well, she's a grown girl.
Yeah. Wonder where you grow this stuff, huh?
If you find out, give me a call, will you? Yeah. I'll be topside. I gotta take my turn at the wheel.
I'll slow down.
I'll get back.
He slaps a jewel from George's hand.
You're pretty alert, huh?
More than you know. I got these counted, you know.
Really?
One, two, three, four.
Well, I'll see you.
Whoop, check them out. Check.
When he pushes George's nose, George spits out a jewel.
Oh, they'll get in there. I want some better. These are not vitamin pills. You know
they are to me, old man.
As George climbs to the deck, Harold looks through the loop again.
How did my school teacher get in there?
The pinup girl lifts her arms and sways her hips. Harold rubs his eye, then looks again.
Oh, take this on a weekend.
Music wafts down from the deck.
She's going to sing, folks. Now's the time to go out and get the popcorn.
As Harold plugs his ears with jewels, George joins Lala on deck.
Before you can say I like you, you've got to know people a while. Watch their little tricks, listen to their talk, see the way they walk and how they smile. That's a rule that's tried and true.
a roulette, you're the one exception to. To see you is to love you, and I see you everywhere. In the sunrise, in the moonglow, any place I look, you're there. To see you is to want you, and I see you all the time. On a sidewalk, in a doorway, on the lonely stairs I climb. Someday let me show you how happy endings start. You'll find how well I know you, 'cause to know you at all is to know you by heart. To see you is to love you, and you're never out of sight. And I love you, and I'll see you in the same old dream tonight.
He holds her hand.
Only two more of these silvery nights in Lubian Valley. I kind of hate to think of leaving you, Lola.
You mustn't think of it because you mustn't do it.
Oh, I've been away a long, long time. I got to get back, catch some ball games, see how the Pirates are doing.
You still have pirates in America?
Yeah, but they're nothing to be afraid of. Probably hiding in the cellar someplace. But it's a fantastic place, the USA, Lola. Just take any town. Take a town, for instance, like the Garden Spot of North America. The lush, picturesque Riviera of the Middle West. Toledo, Ohio.
Toledo, Ohio. Toledo, Ohio. Oh, it sounds beautiful. Such a musical name.
Oh, it's a music town. There's a jukebox in every bowling alley. Lola, would you go to America with me?
George!
I mean, marry me and go to America.
Harold comes up the steps behind them.
It would be wonderful, but what about Harold?
Well, we could adopt him.
Adopt him?
Of course, we'd have to send him away to school.
Oh, it's a little late for that, isn't it?
Oh, no, baby, he's got to go sometime, that boy.
That's enough!
George and Lola jump
Why,
up.
Why, you collapsible Como, you... You and your pirates.
What do you want to do, brag about the Cleveland Indians?
At least they're in the major league.
Go on, they throw underhanded. That's gratitude for you. I try to plan your education, and you turn on me like a mad dog.
I wish I were a mad dog. I'd give you distemper.
Now,
listen, don't plan my education. I'm illiterate enough now. Listen, Lola, if you're going anywhere, you're going with me.
Oh, no, she's not.
I don't know what to do.
Junior, don't you think you should go Betty-bye?
Betty-bye? And leave you here with this Balinese pound cake? Lola, you got to make up your mind and right now.
Oh, that's no way to talk to your mother.
Listen, Mom, it's la-la-la-la. You promised to marry me if I got the treasure, didn't you?
What?
She didn't promise you, I did. You know what a liar I am.
Oh, so that's it. You're up here pitching with this doll while I'm down there ad-libbing with that deep-sea claw machine.
Harold. Harold, I do love you.
Oh, I thought so.
But... I love George, too.
Well, if you like the other generation, they're restful.
I'm so confused.
She turns to George.
I love you for what you are.
A liar.
I love Harold for what he was.
She goes into a trance.
Sometime, somewhere.
This kid's gone.
Oh, dear me, she's in sections. We better get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, let's get to the bottom of this. What was I? Where? When?
Probably some agonizing episode from her childhood. We'll have to probe the subconscious with a little psychiatry. Here, Lola. Just lie down, dear. Lie down. Here, dear. Uh-oh. Carefully now.
The guys lay her on a mat.
There. You comfy?
Yes, doctor.
There's a lot of quacking, this boy.
Now, Lola, we want to delve into your past. We want to go way back into your childhood, sort of a flashback.
Well, when I got to be 6 or 7, I remember I was terribly lonely.
She remembers herself as a little girl.
I had no one to play with until one day my father brought me a little companion.
Come, Sandy. Please play with me. Please, Sandy.
A monkey who looks like Harold turns to little Lola. She takes Sandy by the hand, and they go for a walk. On the ship, Lala grabs Harold.
Sandy!
Oh, not me. You got the wrong monkey.
Well, I'll leave it up to you, Lala. You want me for what I am, or you want this chump for the chimp he used to be? Kick it around a while. I'm going downstairs and peel Buster a banana.
Yeah, and play with your mice while you're there.
George leaves.
Say, now that the imposter's gone, why don't we get into...
Harold, the wheel. You'd better take it. These are dangerous waters. Coral reefs, racing currents.
But, baby, I got racing currents of my own.
He kisses her.
Check.
You and George certainly are romantic.
George? Romantic? I use him for a warm-up boy. I send him ahead on all these situations. Say, but speaking of lyre tips, tell me, how'd you like his singing?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Princess, I got news for you. Can't sing a note.
Oh, I don't understand.
No. I do all the singing, you see. He just mows a little. That's part of my warm-up. And I've got to sing slow because if he mows too fast, his plate starts to slip.
Well, let me...
No, you see, I'm a ventriloquist. That's part of our act. I'll show you.
He turns.
How are you down there?
Fine. How are you?
You see? That's the way
we... Harold, the wheel! Oh.
The wheel spins. The ship hits a reef. And capsizes. Dawn finds George, Harold, and Lala wading ashore on a tropical island. Harold lugs the treasure chest onto the beach and collapses.
Hey. Harold!
Hornblower! Captain! Horatio! Come on, Captain Hornblower. Come on, get it. What do we got here?
He pulls seaweed from Harold's mouth.
Oh, he always did gulp his food, you know.
He pulls out more seaweed.
We may get his appendix here in a minute.
He keeps pulling until he removes about 10 feet of seaweed with a piece of jewelry at the end.
One of the baubles. I think we better have this lad fluoroscoped, huh?
Harold comes to.
All right.
What happened? Is the picture over?
No, you're all right now. You're all right. Just relax.
There must be a village on this island somewhere.
You think so?
We can buy another boat and go on the valley.
They notice a smoking volcano in the distance.
That's a real crazy anthill.
I hope they got a motel with hot and cold running lava, huh?
Yeah.
Harold spots something.
Look, a bottle.
He gets up, walks over, and pulls a half-buried bottle from the sand. He brings it over to George and Lala.
Hey, look. Hey, there's a message in it.
What does it say?
Yeah, let's see.
It says, return this bottle to Sam's supermarket for 3 cents deposit.
Isn't it a pity? Every movie's got to have a message.
How about that?
Well, let's get out of this bunker, huh?
Wait.
Harold takes the chest.
Work inland here.
They set off into the jungle. Lala leads, George follows, and Harold brings up the rear. In the island's interior, they take a path overgrown with ferns and bushes. Lala spreads open the branches for George. When he shoves through, the branches rebound, smacking Harold in the face. It happens again.
Hold it.
What's the matter?
Just a minute. I haven't been smacked in the face this much since my first rumble seat. Let's change places.
As you wish.
Push on, princess.
Lala shoves through the branches, but they rebound and smack Harold in the face.
Something wrong here. Look, let me go ahead. I'll break the trail before it breaks me.
Lead on, Livingston.
Harold goes ahead, but he steps in a noose tied to a tree branch. The trap snares him and springs him into the air, where he dangles upside down.
Say, isn't he breaking trail a little high?
An animal snare. Now we know there are people on this island.
Hey, there's people up here, too!
I wonder what the locals are like.
Oh,
I hope they're not cannibals or headhunters.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they're orange pickers. I want to get off this tree.
Oh, stop squawking. You'll fall off when you're ripe.
I feel like a windsock.
Hearing a noise, George helps Lala hide in the bushes.
Hey, where are you going?
Diggers, Buster. Quiet. Somebody's coming.
Carrying a rifle, a man strides up to George.
Hi. Go ahead.
The man takes aim.
Thank you. Okay.
As the man heads back into the jungle, Lala emerges from the bushes.
Who is that?
That's my brother, Bob. I promised him a shot, a picture.
He's handsome.
Yes, it's a family characteristic.
Down! Get me down! My brain's rushing to my head.
Harold!
Oh, yeah. The dangler. Let's get the sap out of the tree.
This is the sloppiest hanging I ever attended.
You're saved. A pardon just came from the governor.
George and Lala lower Harold.
Oh, say, I wished I had a snapshot of this for the tuna club, huh? Upsy-daisy, let's get him.
Be careful now.
Okay, take it easy now. Whoop!
Oh, I'll never say bottoms up again.
You got me down just in time. I was getting tan in the wrong places.
Put your weight on this tree, and I'll hold it, and I'll cut the phone. Are you all right?
Harold sits on the branch.
Blood's coming back to my toes. Now, if I can only get my toes back to my feet.
It's good for your sinuses up there.
George cuts the rope, and the branch slings Harold into the air.
Oh, this boy loves to travel. Come on, we'll bring him a Band-Aid.
Harold lands in a swamp. Two crocodiles slither into the water.
Harold!
This way, nurse, and bring my toy boats.
Harold!
Over here!
As one croc swims towards Harold, George and Lala reach the swamp.
Look!
They see the crocodiles.
Buster, come on out of there.
Not me. I'm staying out of here where it's safe.
Hurry now. Come on. Get out of there. Looking back at you. Look.
Harold turns, sees the croc behind him, then scrambles for the shore. As George hauls Harold from the water, the croc bites Harold's rear end.
Yeah, but if you got all of me...
Lala notices a big hole in the seat of Harold's pants.
I feel a breeze.
George checks Harold's backside.
Well, I'll be darned. Color television.
Where?
Widescreen, too.
Really? Am I in it?
It's just your best angle.
I wish I had my rearview mirror.
Look!
Lala spots Humphrey Bogart dragging the African queen through the swamp.
Humphrey Bogart?
Boy, is he lost. Hey, Bogey!
They run over to where they spotted Bogart. But no one's there.
Hey, jungle fever, that's what we got. That was just a mirage. Oh,
George picks up something.
Humphrey Bogart's Academy Award. An Oscar. Give me that. You got one.
Harold grabs the Oscar and faces the camera.
Friends, this is a great occasion, me receiving this Academy Award. And I'd like to say a word.
A tiger dashes out of the woods.
Run! That's the word.
They take off. And soon reach a clearing with a kettle hanging over the embers of a campfire. Nearby is a thatched hut.
What do we got here? A jungle motel?
Say, it's a little south for a brown derby, isn't it? Hello? Anybody home? I'm a member of the automobile club.
George checks the embers.
This is cold. There's been nobody here for some time.
We can spend the night here.
Yeah, I'll go sign the register. Princess Lala, the Honorable George Cochran, and manservant.
Harold runs out of the hut holding a rifle.
Hey, I found a gun.
Yeah, so we heard.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now one of you can go out and hunt some food.
Oh, you're so right, Lala. Say, here, Annie Oakley, run out and shoot us a filet mignon, medium rare. Huh?
He hands George the gun.
Hey, now wait a minute. You're the sharpshooter, Nix. This boy played second shotgun with the Spike Jones band.
Oh, not me. The last thing I shot was 2 sixes.
Please, will one of you go out and hunt some food before it gets too dark?
Okay, I tell you what we do. Winner stays here with Lala, huh?
Go.
They go hand over hand up the gun barrel, slapping at each other until the gun goes off. Something falls from the sky and explodes on the ground. A baby elephant flees through the woods.
Man, those Republicans are everywhere.
That's the junior branch.
That evening in the hut, George and Harold lie on cots. Harold stretches and gets up. He notices that the third cot is empty. He looks out the open doorway, then back at George. Tiptoeing over to George, he waves his hand in front of George's face. Confident that George is asleep, Harold slicks down his hair and eyebrows. He tiptoes out the doorway. Lala is sitting by the fire when Harold comes up behind her.
Harold!
Couldn't sleep, huh?
No.
Neither could I, and for the same reason.
He turns toward the hut and grimaces.
May I sit down?
He sits close to her.
Chilly, isn't it? You need something around you. Preferably me.
He slips his arm around her shoulder and presses his cheek against hers.
Oh, this is so peaceful.
Yeah, it's what I've always wanted. Fireside, home, backyard with flowers, vegetable garden. Couple of oil wells.
Monkeys chatter overhead.
A home. That's what every girl dreams of.
I'll make your dreams come true, honey.
As he turns to kiss her...
What about George?
She gets up.
Well, we can always make him our babysitter.
He gets up.
Of course, we'll have to lock up the liquor.
Shall we build up the fire?
Say, I'm in flames now, Lala.
He holds her and kisses her passionately.
Live, girl.
I never knew love could be such a problem.
Well, what's the problem? Aunt Emma, our chaperone's asleep in there.
Lala kneels by the fire.
What do we do when we get to Bali?
Well, you're going to marry me, naturally. Aren't you?
Well,
yes?
No?
You won't say yes and you won't say no. You let my poor heart pound. But you smile at me and around I go on the merry-go-round around. You build me up till the sky seems low, then plop, I hit the ground. But you hold my hand and around I go on the merry-go-round around. When a friend says to me,
he stoops with his back to the fire,
where the heck are you bound? What the deuce can I say? Just around and around and around. You won't say leave and you won't say whoa. I've tried to get unwound. But you kiss me once and around I go on the merry-go-round around.
George fans the fire so it scorches Harold's rear end.
Oh, you won't say yes and you won't say no. You let my poor heart pound. But you smile at me and around I go on a merry-go-round around. You build me up till the sky seems low, then plop, I hit the ground. But you hold my hand and around I go on a merry-go-round around.
Harold pulls George aside.
Dumbo, why do you cut into my scene?
Please, I'm singing.
Singing? You'll never go any place with your singing. You can't even cry.
They have a nervous breakdown in this spot.
Have one up in a tree, will you?
Yes, I'll say hello to your relatives.
He points to the monkeys overhead.
You won't say leave and you won't say whoa.
Buddy,
but you kiss me once and around I go on the merry-go-round.
When they try to kiss Lala, she ducks and they kiss each other.
I won't say yes and I won't say no. I let your poor heart's pound, but you smile at me and around I go on the merry-go-run-around.
You build us up till the sky seems low, then pop, I hit the ground. But you hold our hand and around we go on the merry-go-run-around. When a friend says to me,
Lala climbs a tree,
where the heck are you bound?
George climbs up.
What the deuce can I say?
Harold climbs up.
Just around and around.
She swings on a vine.
You won't say leave.
When George swings on a vine, Harold beats his chest.
Who dare?
Harold swings on a vine.
To get on a vine. But you kiss me once and around I go on the merry.
Swing through the air, the monkeys applaud. Later that night, George, Harold, and Lala lie restlessly on their cots. Harold and George each dream that Lala has chosen him. But Lala dreams about Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Outside, a gorilla prowls through the thickets. He reaches the hut. Lurching through the doorway, he discovers the three humans asleep inside. He looms over Lala. Then he grabs the rifle, examines it, and bends the barrel into a U-shape. He leans over Harold, then notices George. As he heads for George, he drops the rifle. When a tiger growls outside, the gorilla turns and heads for the door. As it leaves, Harold wakes up and turns toward George.
Shh.
George wakes up and frowns at Harold. Then the two guys go back to sleep. Outside, the tiger attacks the gorilla. Awakened, Lala watches from the doorway as the tiger and gorilla fight fiercely.
Harold, George, get up! Quick.
What's the matter? What's the matter? The bus leaving? Huh? House detective here?
The guys jump out of bed and head for the doorway. Harold brings the rifle.
Hey, look out!
When George points to the bent barrel, Harold throws down the gun. The tiger and gorilla battle ferociously. The tiger grips the gorilla's head in its jaws. When it lets go, the gorilla falls down dead. Another gorilla comes out of the woods and starts wailing.
It's a female gorilla. It must be the dead one's mate.
As the female gorilla drags her dead mate into the bushes, the tiger stalks off.
The winner, new champion.
Harold picks up the rifle.
Boy, I better put out the cat.
That gun's no good. No.
Watch the sound.
Harold fires. The bullet zooms out of the U-shaped barrel and whizzes in a circle around the hut. Standing in the doorway, the guys watch as the bullet keeps whizzing by them.
Might as well relax, man. It'll be your old winner.
Yeah, let's dig in.
Phone the command post, huh?
Next morning, George and Harold lie asleep on their cots. Harold wakes up, sits up, and stretches. He notices that Lala's cot is empty. He checks under her bed and looks out the doorway.
Hey, what is this, morning lineup? Huh?
Get up. She's not here. Lala's gone.
Maybe some dirty rat kidnapped her.
Oh, couldn't be. We're both here.
Oh, you.
They grab their caps and run out the door. Lala swims in a sunken rock pool.
Oh, man comes with a moon flowers. Tonight the moon flowers will be in bloom. Love walks among the moon flowers. I've planted moon flowers outside my room.
George and Harold arrive.
Isn't that a beautiful picture?
Yeah, when does the tide go out?
Watch the path that winds by the wishing tree. It ends beneath my window, and there I'll be. And there I'll wait for the love I long for. Tonight the moon flowers may bloom for me.
The guys lean on a branch over the pool. When the branch breaks, they remain leaning without any support.
How come we don't fall?
Paramount wouldn't dare. At your age?
Shall we then?
Inhale.
They resume an upright position. Lala blows them a kiss.
Hey, come on out of there.
Yeah, time's a-wasting.
I'll see you back at the hut.
Oh, no, we couldn't leave a poor defenseless girl like you out alone in this jungle.
Yeah, you need two defenseless men to protect you.
Speak for yourself.
All right, turn your heads.
The guys look at each other.
Selfish.
They turn their backs on Lala.
My hair ribbon, it's gone.
Hair ribbon? What about your sarong?
You stay there while I get dressed.
What about your sarong? That's nice talk.
Well, I was just asking.
Cover up your eyes, like she said.
As they close their eyes, the female gorilla sneaks up behind them.
Type of girl, the athletic type.
When the right kind of a girl comes along, you'll be swept off your feet.
Yeah, my type of girl's right back there. I want to tell you that. Except, well, I know all about swimming, you know. I used to grease them for the channel swim.
There's plenty of oil left over.
The gorilla picks up Harold.
Oh, George, come on, cut it out, will you? Come on, stop, kid.
He opens his eyes.
Hey, help! George!
George opens his eyes.
Oh, Harold, you pick up with the darndest people.
Harold!
As the gorilla carries Harold off, George runs after them.
Buster! Don't get excited now. Play it real cool, Buster. Don't antagonize her.
What?
That's the dead gorilla's mate, Buster.
What
does
she
now?
What does she want? Revenge?
No, I'm afraid not.
The gorilla cuddles Harold.
Hurry, George. This kid's a juvenile delinquent.
Keep cool.
You keep cool. I'm numb.
I'll think of something.
George!
Keep real cool.
I'm too cool.
Watch it now.
Why am I attractive to young widows?
Oh, Buster, I don't like the look in her eye.
Help, George. Get a rock, a club, anything. Kill one of us.
Okay.
George
picks up a rock and pounds the gorilla's head to no avail.
Sing to her. You know, music hath charms to soothe the savage beast.
Breast, that is.
Beast, breast, sing!
To see you is to love you, and I see you everywhere. In the
the sunrise.
The gorilla drops Harold and heads for George, dragging Harold.
Down, baby. Down. I got a frog in my throat. Down there.
Soothe them. Sing. Sing.
To see you is to want you, to love you.
The gorilla picks up George.
I see you.
Buster, keep singing. And if you get tired, call Gary.
Hey, Buster, help.
As the gorilla cuddles George, Lala runs up.
They're after me!
Who?
The natives.
The natives! Get the jewels and run! Hey, keep working. Sign out of the gorilla. The natives are here. Sing!
Three warriors hide behind a rock.
Hey, I tell you, go, go!
See you! Oh, love you.
One warrior shoots a blow dart into Harold's rear end.
Mosquitoes, a rear guard action.
It's a poison dart.
What? Call an ambulance. I'm wounded.
The other two warriors shoot darts in the rear ends of George and the gorilla.
Go! We got you, huh?
Tell me this is only a vitamin shot, honey.
This is a DACA G.
DACA who?
It won't kill you. It'll just cause muscular convulsions, then a coma. DACA G means the laughing twitch.
George and Harold start laughing uncontrollably.
DACA Jada.
When the gorilla starts laughing, Harold points to her.
Go sit in the audience if you're going to laugh like that.
Laugh at that bad.
The warriors run over, grab George, Harold, and Lala, and drag them off into the jungle. Later, dozens of natives follow an ox-drawn cart through their village. Lala sits on the cart beside two long, tube-shaped wicker baskets. When the cart stops, guards haul the baskets off and lay them flat on the ground. They open the lids and pull two little pigs out. Then they reach in, pull George and Harold out, and drag them to their feet.
I wish I was a little pig that stayed home.
Don't worry till they put an apple in your mouth. Then you're in trouble, boy.
Lala is hauled off the cart.
Come on.
Then the guards hustle George, Harold, and Lala along the street. A little boy runs up and pinches Harold's arms.
What's this bit?
His mother grabs him.
How many times have I told you? Don't play with your food!
Don't play with it. Food.
The guards toss Harold, George, and Lala in jail.
Vermin, sack of crawling maggot!
Lala swats the guards until they leave.
Aye. Say, did you hear that kid's mother? Those cats are cannibals.
Maybe they're only headhunters.
Only headhunters. This is the only head I got. I'm very attached to it.
What do you mean? They throw the rest away?
Boy, right now, I wish I was back with that sweet, lovely gorilla.
Oh, yes. I'm carrying a little bit of a torch for her myself.
Hope the barbecue boys are back.
Two guards barge in and grab Lala.
Keep your hands off me!
As they drag her out, Harold and George try to act tough.
Well, they took her.
Why'd they take just her?
Maybe they start with a dessert, huh?
I wonder where they're going.
They peer through the bamboo bars.
Oh, they can't really be headhunters.
No.
He spots five shrunken heads stuck on poles.
What are those? Popsicles?
Looks like my draft board.
The guards escort Lala to a temple where a man in a feathered headdress sits.
On your knees to Bumada, High Priest of Nuata.
I kneel to no one.
She slaps the guard. Bumada rises. When he spreads his arms, Lala spots his tartan waistband.
That's Scotch weave. Where did you get it?
Long ago, from a white man. He wore it like the skirt of a woman.
This man, was he called McTavish?
Yes, that is how he was called. Makatavish.
Makatavish was my father.
An attendant removes Bomada's headdress. Then Bomada extends a welcoming hand.
You are Princess Lala? Your father was my good friend. Still warm in my heart. And for his daughter, anything you wish for shall be done.
He turns to his attendants.
On the Aladi, Lala di Betoa. 21 gong salute.
A native strikes a gong. In the jail.
Just listen at that, will you? For whom the bell's toll.
Yeah, I saw that picture. Very few laughs. Even Gary Cooper got killed. Yep.
Well, I don't mind getting killed, but they're going to torture us.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't stand torture.
Me neither.
No, they're not going to torture me. It hurts.
Well, there's only one thing to do.
They smile at each other.
Ready?
As two guards watch, George and Harold start to play patty cake.
Patty cake, baker's man. Bake the cake as fast as you.
They try punching the guards, but knock each other out. At the temple...
So you see, I love both men.
Harold, and George.
Then your highness has no problem. Here on Nuata, a woman can have as many husbands as she can afford.
I can marry them both?
And why not? White women have many husbands too, but only one at a time. Here we do not like the installment plan.
Marry them both. Oh, that is wonderful, Bomada. Happiness is like smoke in the wind, so quickly gone. Let it be done now at once.
Very well. See to it that the two white men are prepared for a royal wedding to the princess.
Royal wedding? Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Royal wedding? Mazel tov.
Now we will visit our chief, Ramayana.
Back at the jail, George and Harold lie unconscious on the floor. Four guards come in. Pick them up and carry them out. Once outside, the guards carry the two off in different directions. Two servants are filling a vat with water when Harold is carried in.
Wait a minute. You ain't cooking me in no oil. No, no, no. You can't eat me. Look, I'm skinny, I'm stringy, I'm tough. I'll give you indigestion.
An old crone takes Harold's hand.
Oh, no. You ought to be married.
Married?
He checks over the crone.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to marry you. Go ahead. Eat me. Kill me. I'm fat. I'm plump. I'm delicious. No unpleasant aftertaste. Go ahead.
You do not marry me. You marry the Princess of Batu.
What? You mean Lala? So, she finally came to her senses, huh? Lala. What is this, my trousseau?
He steps over to a bird-like mask and taps its beak.
Reminds me of a blind date I once had in Cleveland.
He reaches in the vat and dribbles water on his wrist.
That's perfect. You may proceed to groom the groom.
As he sits, the servants take off his shoes.
Oh, poor George. This'll kill him. Well, some of us have it and some of us don't. But I feel like such a cad having so much of it.
A servant undoes Harold's shirt.
Please, I've undressed myself since I was 17.
Meanwhile, a servant brings a similar mask to George, who is bathing.
Well, I see my wedding headdress is back from the dentist.
A servant pours oil in the bathwater.
Oh, Meyer, 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 easy on the cologne. Let's be subtle, shall we? Insidious-like. Ah, me, I feel so deliriously demilish. Some of us have it, and some of us don't. Poor Harold. He must have misplaced it. You may pour. Just a little cooking sherry, huh?
At the chief's palace...
You are every bit as beautiful as I have been told, Princess Lala.
Chief Ramayana has heard of me?
As yes, Ramayana greets Lala and Bomada, Kenarok comes in.
It is good to see you, Lala. And this...
He grabs the chest.
That's mine, you thief!
Not a thief, my cousin, but a matchmaker.
My dear wives are aging rapidly. And they bore me. You, Princess, will bring youth into my home.
Youth! It's wonderful.
No. No!
This cannot be. Silence!
Ramayana claps.
Take the princess into the bridal hut.
As two guards drag off Lala, Bomada watches helplessly.
She has spirit, too.
In the morning, in the light of reason, she will agree to our bargain, Ramayana.
You cannot do this thing. She has given her heart to the two Americans.
Those white mice...
I have an idea. Instead of their hearts, Lala shall have their heads shrunken. So...
He holds up his fists.
They make lovely bedposts.
But Ramayana, listen to the wedding chant. Already the two grooms are being prepared. We cannot stop this ceremony without insulting the gods and your people.
Why not have your ceremony with two grooms and no bride?
Excellent! Two grooms and no bride.
No! Rajang, the god of the sleeping volcano, will not permit the sacrilege of a wedding without a bride.
Who rules this island, you or the volcano?
You are right. I rule this island. I! Not that volcano!
Bomada turns from Ramayana and Kenarok and faces the distant volcano.
Rajang! God of the sleeping volcano, do you approve of this action?
Bomada turns back to Ramayana and Kenarok.
You see? He
a silly superstition for old women. You do not fool Ramayana with your ventriloquism.
Yes. Now go. Attend the wedding of the two grooms.
Shaking his head, Bomada leaves.
Without a bride.
A servant puts the mask on George.
Hey, Muscles. Is the bride going to wear one of these too?
Yes.
Well, I'm game if she's game. We'll win the door prize, sure.
In another room, a servant puts the other mask on Harold.
Does the princess wear one of these too?
Yes.
Oh, this could lead to a ticklish situation. Ah, nice fit. Ah.
Outside the temple, the natives perform a ceremonial dance. A special dancer covered in white body paint holds Bomada's feathered headdress. The white painted dancer carries the headdress up the steps and into the temple. He places the headdress on Bomada's head.
Let the wedding ceremony begin.
Lala tries to flee from her room, but the two guards restrain her. The dancers form two aisles leading to the temple, one for each groom. George in his mask walks down one aisle, while Harold in his mask walks down the other. Each one thinks the other is Lala. Ramayana sits beside Bomada.
Wedding wine is ready.
A cupbearer hands Bomada a bowl with three silver drinking straws. Ramayana gets up and removes one straw.
No bride.
He throws it down. A servant comes over.
Sabota amiki.
Amiki.
He hands a vial of liquid to Ramayana, who pours it into the wine bowl.
On with the ceremony.
Bomada nods toward the volcano. Smoke and fire spew from it. Ramayana turns to Bomada.
Continue.
As Ramayana sits back down, Bomada carries the bowl to George and Harold, who are still masked.
Matu, mahu, wahu.
George and Harold suck on the drinking straws.
With this wine, I pronounce you man and wife.
The guys stop drinking and start shaking uncontrollably. Comes out of their masks. They flop to the ground and pass out.
Take them away! Advise me when they awaken.
I have plans for them.
Ramayana's guards drag off George and Harold. Sometime later, the guys lie asleep on opposite sides of a double bed, facing away from each other. They wake up. Harold notices the two masks on the floor.
Lala. Lala's mine.
He thinks Lala is in bed with him. Meanwhile, George thinks Lala is in bed with him. The two guys back toward the middle of the bed. When their rear ends touch, they both reach back and hold hands. Harold's smile turns to a frown.
Lala, there's a man in bed with us.
Yeah, I got a hold of him.
They turn around to face each other. They turn to their guard.
Hey, what is the idea here? Somebody switched roommates on me.
Where's my wife? This woman's a man.
You do not have a wife.
Are you kidding, Jack? I'm Prince Harold of Batu.
You? I married Lala.
You did not marry the princess.
Wait a minute.
I married her.
You did not marry her.
Are you kidding? Look. I put on this bug-eyed beanie.
I sweated my way into that pullover gimp. I got feathers up my nose.
They realize that they married each other.
One of us has got to go to Reno.
Let's hurry before Luella grabs us.
Where's Lala?
Lala's to become the seventh wife of our chief.
Wait a minute. What becomes of us?
The guard draws his sword.
You have 5 minutes to live.
Harold strokes the blade.
Will we feel it?
Oh, no. We use sodium pentyrium.
Oh, that's sweet.
Isn't that thoughtful?
The guard leaves.
Buster?
George throws up his hands.
I guess this is it.
They sit on the edge of the bed.
Well, at least we're going out together.
George puts his hand on Harold's knee.
We've been through a lot together, old pal.
I can't complain, though. We've had a lot of laughs. I just hope in your heart of hearts you can forgive me for the few little bitty times when I tried to con you.
He pats Harold on the back.
There's a storm coming up here, huh?
I forgive you, George. I know you've always meant well.
He pats George on the back.
I must have been a trial to you.
Fire and smoke belch from the volcano.
Hey, we might get postponed here on account of rain. Well, Harold, you know, of course, I don't have to tell you what you've meant to me. We've been through so much together. And here we are in life, as in death, we face it together. C'est la guerre.
They stand up and salute.
La guerre!
The volcano erupts. The guys salute again.
La guerre!
Then kiss each other on both cheeks. Burning cinders fall on the village. The guy's bedroom starts to shake. When a wall panel falls off, they run outside and discover that the village is on fire.
Yeah.
As the villagers flee, George and Harold search for Lala.
Lala!
George! Harold! Help! Help!
They hear screams coming from a small building.
Help!
Lala! Lala!
George!
I'll get her!
What do you mean? I'll get her!
They run to the building.
George! Harold!
George crashes through one wall while Harold crashes through another. Harold carries someone out. When he sees it's George, he dumps him.
All this meat and no tomato.
Hurry, Lala!
He heads back into the building. As George gets up, Lala carries Harold out of the building. Harold clutches the treasure chest.
You all right, honey?
Yes, dear.
She dumps it.
Come on, let's get away from this weenie roast. We got the jewels.
Yeah, I don't want to be a rich cinder.
Come on.
As the village goes up in flames, George, Harold, and Lala flee. Later, from a jungle hilltop, they survey the seashore below.
Hey, look at all that rice growing down there, huh?
Rice paddies line the coast.
Yeah, rice. It's symbolic.
Symbolic? Well,
yeah, rice. You know, pudding.
And weddings, too, eh, Princess?
Look! A ship!
A ship is anchored in the bay.
We're saved!
We must get to the beach.
Yeah. Hey, the ship's captain can perform the ceremony.
I'll take care of my own wedding arrangements, if you don't mind.
They start down and soon reach the beach.
If you're a real nice boy, I'll let you give the bachelor's dinner.
You're a little heavy, but you can be flower girl.
This girl's marrying me, Buster. Well,
this kid needs me in her work.
Now, wait just a minute here.
All right, let's settle this once and for all before we get on the ship. Let's toss a coin.
Coins? We're tapped. I got a better idea. We'll Indian wrestle.
Okay. Oh, no. Last time I won, you gave me an Indian. Here, let Lala decide. We'll draw straws.
Oh, yeah.
Harold finds a straw basket in the sand.
If she draws a long straw, she gets me. The short one, you.
Yes, and I'll hold the straws, huh?
Please, all right. Please. Hmm? I've already made up my mind.
The guys pat each other's back.
Ah, tough luck, old man.
Too bad.
Gee. I'm sorry, Harold.
She puts her arms around George.
You pick him?
Yes.
Oh, how nearsighted can you be?
Oh, cheer up, Buster. You'll find somebody. Try the Lonely Hearts Club, eh?
Lala's the only girl in the world for me.
Say, you've got a basket there now. If you just had your magic flute, you'd be in business.
Harold puts down the basket and reaches under his shirt.
It just so happens.
He pulls out the flute.
Oh, that's my gallant little man. He's always thinking.
Harold tests the flute. He sits down beside the basket. As Lala picks up the chest, Harold starts to play. A gorgeous woman rises from the basket. She's wearing a large floppy hat, shoulder-length gloves, and a revealing showgirl costume. Recognizing her, Harold jumps up.
Jane Russell! Oh, wing ding.
Jane pats Harold's cheek, then turns and kisses George.
Ladies?
George offers his arms to Jane and Lala.
Hey, wait a minute!
George turns to look at Harold.
What are you going
to
do with two girls?
That's my problem.
George heads off arm in arm with Jane and Lala.
Hey!
Harold runs after them.
Hey! Hey, come back! Wait,
he looks at the camera.
Oh, no, you don't. Stay right where you are, folks. This picture isn't over yet. Stay right there. Keep your seat. Hey! Come here! Hey! Oh, no, you don't.
The end title comes on the screen.
Stay right there. Keep...
He wrestles with the title.
Hey, Lala! Hey! Oh, no. No, stay right there. George! Get the writers. Get the producers. Get my agents. Get a girl.
Positively the end. A Paramount picture. This described version of Road to Bali was created by Audiovision Canada.